Now we find that this man, Jeremiah, gives prophecies here to the people that remain in the land. In fact, one of the leaders that was raised up by Nebuchadnezzar, he was a son of Ishmael, and that's quite interesting. This one was named Ishmael. In chapter 41, verse 3, Ishmael also slew all the Jews that were with him, even with Gedaliah at Mizpah, and the Chaldeans that were found there, and the men of war. This man attempted, you see, to take over, and he's an Ishmaelite, which, by the way, is quite interesting. He's treacherous, a leader, by the way. In chapter 42, Jeremiah has a word now for them under these strange circumstances. What will the remnant do? Are they going to stay there, or shall they leave the land? And where would they go? Actually, the thing that is happening, the captain, and I think I should begin reading probably verse 1, chapter 42, then all the captains of the forces, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least, even unto the greatest, came near and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, "Let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do." Now, this all sounds very nice, does it not? You'd think these people are actually going to walk with God. And they promise here to obey the voice of the Lord. Let's listen to them now what the voice of the Lord is. Verse 4, "Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I've heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you." And believe me, they could depend on Jeremiah speaking the truth, saying the thing that he should say. A preacher today, in my judgment, who's attempting to speak for God, whether he's in the pulpit or on radio or wherever he might be, it might be on a soapbox on some corner. If he's going to represent God and speak God's word, he should lay aside all of this matter of being clever, of being subtle, being sophisticated, and saying smooth words that please people, and of attempting to say the thing that people want to hear and have a little of the power of positive thinking and of positive speaking in. Don't be negative, that type of thing. When the pulpit becomes like that, it becomes weak. It becomes a sounding board to just say back to the people what they want to hear. It's a question of what Paul said to this man Timothy in his swan song, that they will heap to themselves teachers with itching ears. The teachers will have itching ears, and the people will. And it's a question of the old Egyptian game, you scratch my back, I scratch your back, and we both will have a good laugh. The thing is that that is the way the modern pulpit is today. And it's the reason it's become extremely weak and has no message for this hour in which we live. Now, when the pulpit can give the impression and let it be known they're not holding anything back, they're telling what God has to say, then, my friend, I think that the Word of God will become effective again. It can't become effective today when it is given out in the manner in which it is given out.